The following were the remarks made after Elder Winfrey's sermon the first Sunday in June at Black Rock Church in 1968. The following remarks were by Elder Wood.
I want to say, my brothers, I have been very much interested in listening to our brother. More especially because I have never, although I've read the text and have been acquainted with it for many years, I've never had any enlightenment, I've never had any thought on it. And so as he unfolded this matter, it seemed to me that I must say, well, I know that must be the truth because it follows the experience of the Lord's people. And anyone who attempts to preach the gospel and gets away from the experience of the Lord's people, even though he may use biblical terms, but if he gets away from the way the Lord leads his people, why, you may say that he either does not know anything about what he's talking about, or that he's not, at least not having liberty to speak upon that occasion. Now, as I listened, I remembered a scripture that the apostle, and if you'll bear with me just a very few minutes, remember a scripture that the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians, first chapter, where he said, where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I've often, when I hear the brethren speaking, and sometimes when I'm tempted to speak myself, I often wonder, what are the thoughts of those in the congregation? Because I know that unless there is, has been a work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of men and women, that these things which are surely the gospel and the account of the gospel, the account of the power and the good things about God, that if they have not been brought that way, they cannot understand it. And therefore, even these glorious and wonderful things will seem to be foolishness unto them. And so it comes down to the very point that unless we are blessed to the Spirit of our God, unless God has begun a good work in us, realizing as we're made to realize that he that begins his work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then this scripture also came, he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God hath a witness within himself. Now that gets pretty close to you, doesn't it? I have the witness within himself. And therefore, as I listened in this, I hope you listened, and if you found a responsiveness, a responsive chord, so to speak, in what our brother was saying, if you could say amen solidly in your own feelings, to say, I know that that's is an application I know that something like this has taken place with me. And so if you had that impression, if you had that feeling, if you had that joy in your heart, it's an evident fact that believing, as you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have the witness within yourself. If you have not the witness, then Jesus Christ and all the things pertaining to the sovereignty of God and the election of grace and the final preservation of the saints and all of these things, they become as foolishness unto you. But if you have had the work begun and been carried on in your heart, that only the Spirit of God can begin and carry on, then you will rejoice when you hear these things proclaimed. I remember that the old Jews, when they went up to the temple upon their stated occasions, that one, they said upon one occasion, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. And so if we rejoice in these things and are exceedingly glad, we're not looking to the wisdom of the world, the wisdom that we may have as natural men and women, which is more in some than in others, of course, but it matters not how great may be our wisdom, naturally speaking. That has no part, it plays no part whatsoever, it has no bearing upon the things which are revealed in the hearts of the Lord's people. Because if we have that witness within, while all the other things seem to take a back seat, so to speak, and the things of this teachings of the Spirit of God become all in all to us, and the wisdom, Paul said he spoke not with the wisdom of men, and was speaking how little he felt, and how unable he felt, and unworthy he felt to come before the Lord's people. And yet he always came not upholding himself. I would despise to hear someone professing to be a minister of the gospel that was always upholding himself. But we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not ourselves, but ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. And so you see how wonderful it is if we are given, as I got a good glimpse this morning, I feel, and rejoiced in some of the things that I heard our brother mention, but my mind, my thoughts went off, led off from what he suggested, and I rejoice and I'm glad that that he was led to bring those things. And as I said, if you do not have the witness within yourself, why, what he would say, what I would say, would be foolishness to you, because if you have the witness within yourself, you want to hear Christ only, Christ and him crucified. You don't want to hear what lots of people want to hear, what we have done for the Lord and what the Lord requires us to do, but rather we want to hear how great things the Lord has done for us. That's all we want to hear. Because surely, as in the experience of every child of grace, every child of God, the experience is that, as the old brethren used to say, that we worked out of timber. My father, when I was a young boy, I remember him in speaking of some of the things that he felt that the Lord had, the way that the Lord had led him. And he'd been a builder, a contractor and a builder, all of his years until he got past going. And he said in his experience that the level and the square being a very important tool, a very important thing in his business, he said that it appeared to him in some vision or something very emphatic, it said to him, your square is all out of square, and your level is not plumb anymore. And so that's the way it is. If you're looking for some praise from the pulpit, something to praise you, to lift up your ego, so to speak, then you surely do not have the witness within that Christ is all and in all. But it's a wonderful thing when we have been brought to the end of our own strength. But until we are brought to the end of our own strength, these things, grace, all the doctrines of God our Savior will still be as foolishness. You don't need, if the Spirit of God has revealed himself in your heart, you don't need to seek after signs, nor to seek after wisdom, to require signs, nor to seek after wisdom, but rather these things being revealed in your heart, Jesus is revealed as your Savior. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can ever take the place of that revelation. And without that revelation, you will never know anything about the grace and the mercy of our God. Because you know that as Jesus said to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came to him, called him Rabbi, we know that no man doeth these things, these miracles that you perform, save God be with him. And Jesus didn't tell him that, began to commend him for the coming. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're seeking after these things. But it seems to me that Jesus told Nicodemus something he didn't know anything about before. And that is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so we declare the things that we've seen and felt and handled are the word of life. The servants of God, the children of God, are not interested in every wind of doctrine. We're not interested in this sleight of hand, yes. We're not interested in trying to fool anybody. Well, what good would it do if I should, knowing as I do feel to know some things, and yet in order to attract your attention or in order to build myself up, I might bring before you some things that you want to hear rather than the things that I know the flesh of men do not want to hear. If I declare unto you that salvation is by the grace of God and you believe it's by the works of men with a little bit of grace added, then the doctrine that I preach, the doctrine that's laid down in the Bible here, becomes as foolishness to you, doesn't it? It certainly would. But it's so wonderful to have our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance of the things that our God has done for us, stirred up by way of remembrance of these things. And that's what preaching is for. Now, the preaching of the gospel is not to convert anybody. It's not to cause anybody to be born the Spirit of our God. But God has his own way of doing these things. And everything, even the preaching of the gospel, works together, and God uses these things just exactly according to his will. But the preaching of the gospel is, to a great extent at least, just like Jesus said to Peter, after Peter had denied him, as you recall, and cursed and swore that he didn't know him. But the Savior had said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And I've thought about it so many times, that if Peter had not been led through this experience to find himself as a man who could not even keep his own word to do anything that he thought he could do, and yet he was... the Lord said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Well, you know, Peter had to have this experience. You have to have every experience that you have. Peter had to have the experience because what would he preach? What would he had to tell the brethren upon the day of Pentecost if he hadn't been brought this way? If he hadn't been strengthened, if he hadn't been converted, hadn't been brought to see and to have been blessed of our God to know Jesus was really the Christ, the only, the Son of God. And there he preached that you have by wicked hands crucified and slain. the Lord of glory, according to the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God the Father, you've done these things. And so he had to have this experience. And we have to have every experience that we have. You know, we're so apt to become exhausted. If we're left to ourselves but for a moment, we realize we can become exhausted. But God knows how to bring us down. Not only knows how to bring us down, but he brings us down. Now, I know my brother here, our fellow servants, we hope that we trust and hope that we are the servants of the Lord. We know that sometimes we become exhausted, but then just about that time, we may try to stand before the people again, try to preach, and lo, the whole matter is taken away from us. So the Lord knows how to keep us down. He knows how to keep each one of you down. He knows how, and he brings you down and keeps you upon praying ground so that you need, yes, the grace, how gracious he is to give you the realization, the feeling, the desire that I must pray the Lord to have mercy upon me and forgive me of my sins. Nothing more wonderful than that, to feel the necessity of prayer. And yet how many times have you tried to approach the throne of grace and it seemed that even your thoughts and the words that you, if you were speaking audibly, they went no higher than your head. But mistake it not, my brethren and friends, that every prayer that's indicted in your heart by the grace of our God, that prayer enters into heaven and God hears it. Because he's the one that gives you the prayer. He's the one that brings you to the end of your own strength, and you pray, God, to forgive me of my sin. Haven't you done things, said things sometimes that just as soon as you said them, we were so sorry. You would give anything in the world if you could take it back. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Then what do? The very first thing is, God, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I'm such a sinner. Forgive me of all of these things that I do. And we confess with David, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. And so while the Jews require a sign, that is, natural religious people require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom of the world, but those things do not satisfy the children of God. But we preach, the apostle said, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so as we come, and I feel to say this, and then I shall close, I feel to say that as you come before any, or in any organization, or a church, that it is no time, it's no place for one who professes to be preaching the gospel to take up political affairs. Social affairs are many things which seem to be the only thing that many people know anything about. But we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. My brethren and friends, if ever I get so beside myself, and sometimes I know that getting older as I am, that I say things that I had not intended to say, but if I ever get so beside myself that I began to talk in your presence, politics and all of these things unrelated directly to the grace of our God, and do not continue to declare unto you what the Lord your Savior has done for you, I wish somebody would say, I wish you'd shut up and don't say any more, because it's not preaching the gospel of the Son of God. So it seems to me that much of the religion of the world is seeking after worldly things, seeking after the wisdom of the world and the signs and all of these things, but we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's all we have to preach, just that. Preaching the gospel of the Son of God, and we preach these things, brethren and friends, because, you know, the old prophet got into a lot of trouble in his experience, and he came to the place, he said, I will speak no more in his name. but then he couldn't refrain. It was as fire shut up in his bones. Don't tell me that the Lord doesn't send his servants wherever he would have them to go. And don't tell me that he doesn't give them when it's his will and his purpose. Don't tell me that he doesn't give them the very thing, the very spirit of the matter, the very essence of the matter to declare what someone or more in the congregation needs, because God is a wonderful provider. And he's never had a child, a spiritual child, about a child about God who never starved to death. We get hungry. We long for him. We seek after him as it did, "Hast thou seen he whom my soul loveth?" We seek after him. But then while we seek and can't find, he knows where we are all the time. And when he speaks, when he reveals himself, oh, what joy, what peace, what consolation there is. And so it is, my brethren, I say again, but we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified.